Hi, I'm Financia and welcome to It's About Youth, the show that talks about things that matter to youth. Now, there has been an alarming call as of late to solve the issue of brain drain. Obviously, the phenomenon is not anything new in Malaysia. It's been talked about, you know, for over decades. But last year, I think, MA Research think tank predicts that Malaysia's brain drain situation is only going to get worse from here. They predict approximately 2 million Malaysians are living abroad, with 500,000 of them highly skilled individuals above the age of 25 years old. Now, we have with us today Muhammad Hafizi Razali from Bauer Group Asia, as well as Kerjane Ngo from Ideas, to explore the topic together. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. Let's just get into this straight. Before we dive deeper, I want to know your take on the brain drain situation here in Malaysia. Is it as bad as people say it is? You know, is it rightly so that a lot of experts, ministers, you know, think tanks to be so worried about this issue, obviously?
Yep. Number one, brain drain is not something that we can avoid.
Yeah.
It's a problem that happens not just in Malaysia, mm-hmm. but also other countries as well. So naturally, the more developed a country is, there is a higher likelihood of our talents going abroad in search for better opportunities, better pay, and also for the career prospects that probably a developing country is not able to provide. But for Malaysia, what we're seeing is the trend is getting worse, not just from the past 10 years, but since 2007, actually.
Mm.
And it's getting worse now that we have more population, more educated people, and more people studying abroad. And also, a lot of countries are now more open towards accepting foreign talents as well. And that's why a lot more Malaysians have the options to go abroad more than before. And it's bad considering that as a developing country, we need as many of our talents to be here in Malaysia and contribute in the whatever ways that they can, especially in the more professional sectors. But at the same time, we also have to understand that there are root causes to why this is happening, and we can actually make the brain drain to be slower than what it is now.
All right, manageable pace.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Kerjane, what's your thought on this?
Yeah, so I think if just like a brief look at the numbers we have, I think it's kind of close to 2 million of Malaysians mm-hmm. that are overseas now. So that would include low-skill, mid-skill and high-skill talents, right? And if you look at the stats, it's really interesting that about half of these Malaysians that are overseas are actually in Singapore.
Mm.
So when you think about someone who wants to move to another country, there are social costs and also financial costs. So the person needs to be able to say, okay, I'm okay with leaving my family, my community, and I'm okay with adapting to another different culture. And if you, like what Hafizi mentioned, I think losing high-skilled talent is a symptom of a deeper problem. So we have the obvious like pull factors, like people go there for career prospects, for better wages, but it's also a symptom that perhaps our overall system is not good enough to keep the Malaysians here and to help them to see that this is a place where you can, you know, develop your career, you can start a family.
Okay, so let's get into the push and pull factors here. Obviously, there's, you know, a lot of reasons for people who leave. You know, we ourselves studied, you know, abroad, and there's definitely, you know, an attraction to stay there and get a job there. But now, looking at the state of the country, job opportunities here, career prospect, like all of those that you mentioned just now, why do you think so many people are leaving? What is the push factor here and the pull factors abroad? Kerjane?
So I think the obvious pull factors would, some people think that, you know, in certain developed countries, working conditions are better. You have better work-life balance, your wages are better, you get paid fairly for the work that you do. A lot more learning and development opportunities overseas, and a lot of students like us who went overseas for better quality education, right? But I think more importantly, the push factors, again, going back to like the systemic root causes, it is interesting that, so we have like race-based policies in Malaysia that a lot of the perhaps non-Bumiputra students or young adults, they feel like they are being discriminated in our country. So they feel like they get a better chance of advancing their career and their welfare is better taken care of in other countries. And that's why they prefer to move. So our government also has, so Talent Corp was set up to address the brain drain issue, and a lot of the initiatives were providing incentives for people to come back, training our local talents and things like that. But those initiatives, newer initiatives, are in some sense contradictory to the long-standing ethnic-based affirmative actions that are already in place for a long time. So it really helps us to wonder, perhaps when we look at the brain drain issue, we need to take a more holistic approach to look at what are the systemic root causes that has been in place for many, many years.
Okay. Hafizi, what's your thought on this systemic root causes? Besides, you know, ethnic, race-based policies, are there any sort of, you know, probably quality of life here, employment opportunities here?
So I think the first thing that we have to highlight is there's a gap of our education standard here in Malaysia, right? And what we'll need to, number one, address is to make sure that our education standards are at par so that the working conditions and working opportunities here would match the amount of or the kind of talents that we have or being offered in Malaysia, right? Because the issue that we have in Malaysia is that there are limitations on the quality jobs that you can get here. And because of these limitations, this becomes a structural impediment for people who have talents and have aspirations to remain in Malaysia, because they believe that with the kind of opportunities that they have here in Malaysia, they're not able to advance as far or meet their ambitions or match what they have studied in university, be it locally and abroad. And just now, Kirjan mentioned about a lot of Malaysians being in Singapore, right? But worryingly, there are a lot of blue-collar workers working in Singapore as well nowadays, not just those who are regarded as professionals or white-collar workers. That means the horizon of people living in Malaysia is now encroaching into the mid-tier and lower-level jobs as well.
Yeah.
And this goes back to the kind of jobs that we have, but also whether we are paying them enough for them to do the kind of jobs that they want to do in Malaysia for various factors, like Gurjan mentioned just now. Family reasons is also one of the factors, right? So what I would suggest here is for the government to look into the kind of jobs that we are able to offer, but also look into the productivity that we're able to get out of the jobs that we have here in Malaysia, because we'll need to ensure that the productivity attached to a certain job is in line with latest innovation practices or the best practices adopted by other countries, so that gradually the kind of jobs that we have here would graduate into something that's more at par with other developed nations, and naturally people would stay if they feel that they can do just as good here as what they are able to do in Singapore or United Kingdom, minus the pay factor, right? Mm-hmm. So these are some of the issues that the government will have to address in terms of labour standards. But more importantly is also for the government to continuously encourage competition and innovation in our job market, not necessarily having it too entrenched with the role that the government is playing, as well as government-linked companies. Because what will happen then is that you would hamper opportunities for private companies to grow their market share and naturally provide more job opportunities for our talented Malaysians.
Okay.
Yep.
We've touched on some of the reasons people are leaving. What do you think is the long-term implications of brain drain, an example for any specific industries particularly affected?
Right, I think we are aware about what has been mentioned by Professor Adiba before with healthcare industry, right? Now we are not just seeing that we don't have enough specialists, that we have to get some of them from India and the Philippines, for example, but we also don't have enough doctors, or we have doctors who are not full-heartedly providing their service because they feel that they're not being treated well. So in terms of industries, it's actually very wide-ranging. It's not necessarily just on healthcare.
Yeah.
And this is worrying, because if you're seeing healthcare being affected and we can see the effect of it on patients, for example, right? But when we don't have enough talents in the economic development or infrastructure, then we will continue to be dependent on foreign talents to grow the country. And the trend that we are seeing in Malaysia is that we are getting cheap foreign labours, and this would actually distort the wages structure that we have here in Malaysia, because it's so much cheaper and they can live with the high cost of living because a large chunk of their income actually goes abroad. But for Malaysians, we have to consider about commitments and life building in Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that we have so many of foreign workers here in Malaysia has actually distorted the market, the job market that we have here in Malaysia. So it's actually important for us to look across all the industries and identify that this problem is actually a systemic problem with root causes touching on inclusivity, race-based policies, but also productivity, innovation, competition, and the job creation itself, as well as education, right? Because we have to continuously invest for our human capital to be at a certain level that is comparable to developed nations. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll be having this problem for a very long time.
Yeah, you really have to dig deep. What's your thoughts on this, Krijin?
Yeah, so I think it's like a cycle, right? If you lose high-skilled talents, we will struggle in the long run in terms in economic sense. And then that makes us less attractive as a destination for Malaysians to retain in this country, right? So I think like what Hafizi has mentioned, like it's all across industries. It's not just one particular industry. And I think Talent Corp has published a critical list, occupation list recently. And judging by the latest published list, I think the most critical occupations are usually like high-skilled professionals, like managerial positions. Mm-hmm. And that gives us an indication that we really struggle to retain like mid-career professionals. And that is really quite alarming for us because it really questions where are our talents going. They would rather, you know, go overseas to develop their career from mid-career onwards. And we also, if you look at the latest one, in the list where a few occupations that appear in the list for the first time, they are predominantly digital professions. Mm-hmm. So that tells us also that if, you know, we as Malaysia want to progress to becoming a high-income nation, we need to make sure that we have talents in order to help us develop in terms of our technology and innovation, right? But we seem to be losing this talent pool. That really will delay the process of us reaching a high-income nation status, which is something that really needs to be addressed.
Yeah, we need a solution, and we need a solution quick. So that's what we'll discuss after this break. Hi, and welcome back to It's About You. We are here with Hafizi Razali from Bau Group Asia and also Krijin Ngu from Ideas talking about brain drain. So we've discussed some of the issues regarding brain drain. Now we want to talk about solutions. Now, Hafizi, you mentioned just now, you know, this is not a problem only in Malaysia. It's a problem worldwide. You know, all the countries are facing this. So it's unavoidable and it's innate, you know, for us to want to go somewhere where we can have a better quality of life, better job opportunities. Turning this around, you think, can brain drain really be all that bad? Is it necessarily negative? Or to better word it, I guess, you know, how can we salvage this problem that we've had to make it more positive?
Yeah, brain drain is bad if you're a developing country.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
Because a lot of the talents are going.
So, yeah.
So because we are one, and we'll have to look into the perspective of how can we actually reverse the brain drain for us to benefit from talents who are Malaysians themselves, who might want to return for various reasons. And number two, for talents of high quality that are not necessarily present here in Malaysia, but we can utilize them to create more jobs in Malaysia for Malaysians, as well as people who are interested to contribute towards our economic development, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we can do is that we, number one, have to, well, Talent Corp has been doing a decent job in attracting Malaysians to come back. They have a success rate of 60%, but we need to do more to curb the rates from continuing to go high, right? So we have to taper it down and make sure that the rates are not going to be as high going forward in the years to come. Number two is for us to make sure that the talents that we have here in Malaysia will remain to be in Malaysia. And we spoke about structural issues just now, and with the assumption that we will be able to address the structural issues with solutions, that will be the first step in making sure that the talents that we have here in Malaysia continue to develop and continue to contribute in the industries that are relevant in Malaysia. They maintain to be our assets. We cannot let them leave anymore. Mm-hmm. And number three, I mentioned this just now, that perhaps with some Malaysians coming back, more Malaysians or all Malaysians staying to serve in this country and to get a good pay, good jobs, good quality jobs, But lastly, is also for us to work together to find ways to attract more of high quality talents from abroad to come back and fill in the gaps of Malaysians who never wanted to come back. Anyways, yeah. There are 40% of them,
yeah.
Right? And what we can do now is then to utilize the high talents, the high quality talents that we have from abroad to work together with locals to create new industries, new opportunities, and expand on existing capabilities that we have.
So that's the goal.
Yep.
Let's talk about some of the initiatives we have so far, from measures to programs to policies. Kurjin, has there been government's effort in terms of addressing brain drain systematically, you think? What do you think of them?
Yep, so I think most of the approach now has been focused on TalentCorp's efforts mm-hmm. in providing initiatives like encouraging Malaysians to return back through their returnees program. We also have an expats program where we encourage foreigners to come here to fill in high-skilled jobs, giving them the visa to stay for over 10 years. And we also have, I would think it's actually a very good initiative, which is the Career Comeback Program. Mm-hmm. So this is targeted for women who have left their jobs for, you know, to give birth and to take care of their kids, helping them to come back and fill in the gap of, you know, the high-skilled jobs that we have here. So on one hand, yes, we want to focus on bringing talents back to Malaysia. At the same time, we also have a lot of talents, including women, who we don't really tap into their potential enough. So I think having like this comeback, career comeback program is really important, and it should go hand in hand with these other programs that are aiming to bring back talents. And I think going back to Hafizi's point about bringing talents, of tapping into foreign talents, right, and bringing them back in. We actually, our education system is very internationalized. We have a lot of foreign students that perhaps our government has not really been very ready in incorporating them into our labour market. Mm-hmm. So contrasting that with Singapore's strategy, their strategy is if you have an international student who's studying in Singaporean university, the process of getting a PR, getting a job, is usually very quick because that is their approach in retaining high-skilled talent. Mm-hmm. So perhaps we can look a little bit more into that as well, instead of focusing all of our efforts into just reskilling and upskilling and also bringing talents back. So there are a lot of different things that we can do here. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Hafizi? What do you make of the government's efforts so far?
It's pretty premature to comment on what the government now is doing. But in general, government should be looking more into investments of reskilling and upskilling.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
We're not talking about reskilling, upskilling necessarily in TVET context. Mm. But we're talking about engineers graduating from universities in Malaysia not employable for industries that require engineers. Yeah. And I see this a lot from my engagements with clients. In Penang, for example, multinational companies looking to hire engineers of electrical, electronics background, realizing that the Malaysian university graduates will have to be retrained for another 1 or 2 years before they are even able to fill in, slot in into the most junior position in mm-hmm. those multinational companies. Yeah. But who's going to be funding them? If we are continuing to rely on private companies to put in the money to train our graduates or our young talents, sooner or later, they will just go somewhere else. Mm. So the government will have to restructure on how education is in Malaysia, be it at secondary level or tertiary level, right? Or even TVET level, so that by the time that you finish your education, you've put in X amount of money, you will be employable right away because you have gotten all the trainings while you were still in school. And that's the whole point, not just for you to get a certificate. And I think this is a matter of concern. And even for people who are already employed, we also have to look into possibilities of them transitioning into something that's more relatable to what they are currently doing. Mm-hmm. So perhaps we should look into short-term courses, which would easily translate you from a typical business analyst looking at accounting numbers into a digital data analyst, for example. This can easily be done with Microsoft courses over 3 months. But the government will have to open door, make it very easy, and make it at no cost. So the more of us can actually have good quality jobs, good pay, regardless of where we studied at.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so like we both discussed just now, TalentCorp is the main agency to sort of handle this. You know, it's been established in 2011, and it has, you know, all these career comeback programs that they do to basically attract, you know, all these experts who are abroad to come back here. You mentioned just now their success rate is about 60%, was it?
Yep.
So it's been established for, you know, over a decade. So how do we, you know, the government, the agency has been criticized for not performing as well as they should. But how do we change that? How do we review that? How do we transform them? Or there have also been calls to disband them. How do we approach Talent Corp to make it more effective in their programs, in their approach, Kerjean?
Yep. So as a background, Talent Corp was not established by an Act of Parliament. Mm. So Talent Corp does not really seem to have the same leverage as other agencies like Matrade or MIDA, yeah, which was commented by various experts on this. So for, as we know, brain drain is a very complex issue that probably would involve, you know, mobilizing various ministries, so not just Talent Corp alone. Mm. But Talent Corp perhaps do not have the same leverage to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think what can really help to drive more initiatives to happen and perhaps more holistic initiatives is for the Ministry of Human Resource to really support Talent Corp in coordinating across ministries' efforts into addressing brain drain. Mm-hmm. So I think this is quite important because we really can no longer look at brain drain from just a talent perspective. Yeah. Right, we have to look at it from a systemic perspective. We have to look at it from the education's perspective. Mm-hmm. So I think this, unless this happens, we will always struggle with, you know, Talent Corp just pushing out a lot of initiatives without maybe reaping most of its.
And they'll suffer the brunt, basically, these programs. What do you think, Lizzie?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's unfair to solely blame Talent Corp for this issue. I think the direction will have to be a united direction and focus from the government, from the top down, that these are the things that we'll have to do in concert with everyone else, with every other ministry, and Talent Corp would be the implementing agency only. Mm. But the policy base will have to be streamlined across different ministries, from inclusivity, from education, from reskilling and upskilling, from human resources, from technology. So these will have to be aligned with what we aspire to be. If you're talking about being a developed nation, then yeah, we'll have to be a bit more open, a bit more flexible, but at the same time, treating our people well. And then Talent Corp would continue doing what they are doing, perhaps with some improvements, as many have recommended, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think abolishing anything would be of use right now, mm-hmm. but what's needed is some leadership to make sure that everyone remains focused on the goal that we're aspiring to be as a country.
Empower them, basically. Yep. All right, so obviously we've discussed, you know, it's a multifaceted issue and it has a lot of systemic problems that we need to address. Quick wins and also long-term solution. I'll divide it into two in this one question. So what do you think are first quick wins or short-term solution that we can implement to basically curb this problem for you know, before it exacerbates even further, as well as long-term solutions that we can look into?
Quick wins definitely would be reskilling and upskilling of existing talents, regardless whether they are employed or unemployed. And make sure that these reskilling and upskilling initiatives are not just generic or randomized, but they are attached to particular industries' needs, particular companies' needs, especially multinationals who have invested a lot of money in this country. And there will be a ready source of talents for these companies that have invested in Malaysia and potentially invest more. That's number one. Number two would be on highly critical areas where there are no Malaysian talents available or limited Malaysian talents, and Malaysians are not wanting to come back from abroad for various reasons, right? We'll have to look into more flexible labour arrangement where we only hire high-skilled talents from countries that have been identified, and they will be responsible in creating new industries, opportunities, products and employment for more Malaysians to be achieving a better work-life balance or better quality of living, right? So we're talking about having maybe foreign students with advanced degrees studying Malaysia, retaining to stay in Malaysia to be employed in various industries, but also talking about attracting people who are already employed from abroad, or we're also talking in the sense of people with capital and able to grow a talent base here in Malaysia, willing to invest in our people. So there are different variations about what we can do.
There's a lot of target groups here,
but
that you
can be done very, very quickly. And all companies or agencies will have to do, like MDAG or MIDA or MITI, will just be about selling Malaysia of the advantages that we have, and they will come. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about you, Kerjean? Any quick wins?
Yeah, so I think on top of what Hafizi has shared, one quick win that we can also start implementing almost immediately is to establish networks with Malaysians who are already overseas. So it's not completely a lost cause when Malaysians are overseas. So if we still have the networks with them, they can perhaps even contribute through knowledge sharing. They can even bring back skill sets that they have learned from more developed countries. And that actually has a very positive impact on our economy as well. So I think, again, kind of going back to our question earlier, whether brain drain is all bad, perhaps it's not really. So we can also look at what incentivizes people to come back, right? So we talked about a lot of these programs that Talent Corp has provided, but another way that we can approach it is for Malaysia to start thinking about more pro-family policies. So allowing, for example, women to not have to choose between their career and also taking care of their kids, creating a very family-oriented working environment where people are paid fairly, people can juggle responsibilities, and that will really attract talents to come back, because Malaysia will become a place where it's conducive to set up a family and also grow your career at the same time. So I think that's a kind of a different angle that we can take to look more into family policies.
Yeah, and hopefully all these policies measures, you know, although they are, you know, low-hanging fruits or quick wins per se, they can be more structured to become more longer-term policies that will bring the benefits for Malaysia. All right, that's all the time we have. This is It's About Youth, and we have Hafizi and Kerjain here, two think tanks per se, to talk about this issue of brain drain that we hope to solve and not exacerbate even further. I'm Fahana Sheikh. Thank you for watching.